They needed last night in the worst way. Because after they had put together a nice four-game win streak with two big wins, Houston, Denver, which is the last time they had their full complement, they had a close loss to Milwaukee and then two really disappointing efforts against the Bulls and the Raptors in Tampa. So they needed last night badly. And, you know, I was almost actually happier with the way it unfolded that it wasn't a wire-to-wire win. The fact that they did have a little trouble late in the third and got down and then had to start the fourth and just hit
really
the gas.
Turned it on there, yeah.
Yeah. And
thanks,
one of the
Trey
things,
Burke.
Big time Trey Burke, and hey, here's Tim Hardaway Jr. off of an 0-for-12 night the other night, the worst shooting night in Mavs history, and he was huge last night with 19. I mean, look, they won a game where Luka only scored 13 points. He did have a triple-double, but they got contributions from everywhere else, even with the fact that most of their everywhere else is out. So they needed it badly because this is a rough stretch, and there's really no end in sight for when those guys are going to be back. You know, I think we're all kind of looking at the Denver date and doing the, okay, how many days is 10 days? How many days is 14? Why are they not back? Well, who was it? Michael Porter Jr. with the Nuggets. He may be cleared now, but he's missed 3 weeks. He's missed 10, 11 games. So there is no, like...
There's a minimum.
There's a minimum,
yeah.
But you have no idea when you're going to get Richardson, Powell, Kleba, and Finney-Smith back. No idea. It probably won't be this weekend, so you're looking at least two, maybe three more games without them, which sucks because some of these other teams, as you're seeing and hearing on the ticker, are having games postponed because they don't have enough. So as long as the Mavericks stay like one above the cutoff.
Does every team not have a G League team?
You know, I think that they do, and they're talking about expanding rosters, but some of these contact tracing situations are getting to the point where they don't have enough.
You have to have eight players, right?
You have to have eight. And look, the Mavericks only played nine guys last night. But they needed it badly, and one of the things that came out of last night was that they went back to KP at center. They'd been kind of toying around since Porzingis was back, and I guess they really even did this before Porzingis was back, with Willie Cauley-Stein in the starting lineup and going back to a traditional two-big lineup. So Cauley-Stein and Maxey, I think is what it was first, or last night, with KP back, Cauley-Stein and KP. And last night they went back to KP at the five, and then they started the rookie Josh Green and went to the, you know, super modern, we're only going to have one big out there and four guys around him. And it's an interesting conversation. I don't think there's a right answer to it. You know, they have a guy who can defend the rim and shoot threes. So what do you do with him? Is he a five? Is he a four? Who knows? I think it probably kind of depends on who you're playing and who's available on your team. But it was clear last night that he was very, very comfortable offensively. Especially early on when he wasn't playing with Cauley-Stein much, and he was asked about that after the game, and I think KP gives great answers, so I wanted you to hear it.
Hey, KP, what's the difference for you playing the five?
Just rolling to the basket. There's more space. Rolling to the basket more. Having the option also to roll or to pop, and that's it. Just when the court is open, you know, first quarter, four of my five baskets that were just layups off of great passes from my teammates. So I didn't really have to do much. Just set a good screen and roll to the basket and finish. So, tonight was one of those nights where it just came easy. A lot of good looks, a lot of good opportunities, a lot of layups and stuff. And that's it. And make those, you know, get those easy ones. And I'm glad we got the win.
Brad? So, yeah, basically what he's saying there is
he does give good answers,
he's
man.
He's walking you through
he's
it.
He's very descriptive. Yeah.
So when he sets a screen, if there's no big in the paint, he's the only guy. He can go there or he can go there.
Yeah.
He can dive out or he can pop. You know, Dirk, at his prime, was a role threat, but I don't know that he was ever the role threat like KP quite is. Obviously, Dirk could always pop, but that's interesting, you know, because what are you going to do with this guy? Which way is he going? And he's got good enough hands to where he can catch and pass. The problem for that is, should we mention this real quick, the NFL news? We probably should, right? The Eagles have hired a head coach.
Where's the breaking news sounder?
Well, it's not.
Make one with your voice. Your,
breaking news.
The Eagles have not hired Kellen Moore. They have hired, I think it is, Nick Sirianni.
Sirianni,
who has been the Colts offensive coordinator.
Oh, there he is.
The last few years. So none of the names that we were really tracking and were, you know, the hot names you would see like Bieniemy or Kellen Moore or even Joe Brady, they go with Nick Sirianni.
Another coach under the age of 40.
He's 39 years old and I don't believe has any previous experience with the Eagles, but he has been the Colts OC the last 3 years and that team's been pretty solid. So there you go. Kellen Moore is safe. But back to KP. The riddle is they're way better offensively when he's at the five. And then they put shooters around him. Like in a perfect world, that would have Luka, Josh Richardson, Dorian Finney-Smith, KP, and either Maxey, because I think Maxey is kind of an in-between big and not big, or Tim Hardaway Jr.
Who's definitely not a big.
Right, but I'm just saying, you know, that's your possible options there. The problem is their best defensive lineup is certainly having KP out there with another big, so he's just not getting bullied under the basket, you know, and his body's getting beat up all night.
Yeah.
So they have to figure out how they want to play this. The frustrating thing is I still have no feel or handle on how they want to play it because they don't have their guys. So
and hopefully that's just something you develop throughout the year. And
right. I think Maxey is
he's know what you're doing by the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah. That's I would say by then for sure.
But in watching the second half last night, it seemed like with KP and Cauley-Stein on the floor at the same time, they were a lot more effective defensively because you had two rim protectors down there if one got out of position.
For sure. That's what
that's what he said about
for sure.
Their
yeah.
best lineup is two bigs.
Defensively. For sure.
Yeah.
And that's why I think Maxey could be very helpful here because if Maxey comes back and you can play him next to KP, he's good enough defensively, he's good enough shooting, he can defend the perimeter, and now you can move Tim Hardaway Jr. to the bench, and now you have a legit six-man type microwave score, which is what I think Hardaway Jr.'s best role is.
But even offensively, you know, you can't match up with those two long guys, two rollers.
And two guys who can kind of shoot, KP and Maxey.
Yeah, Cauley-Stein wants to shoot.
Yeah. Did you guys want to move over to any other NBA stuff here real quick, or do you have more Mavs?
Well, I thought you said when you walked in you wanted to do all Kyrie talk from 12:30 till the news.
So...
And then you remembered we have Homer call.
We need one day of Schadenfreude here, Schadenfreude. One day.
That's a really cool word that every time somebody says it, I can't remember what it means.
Just laughing at the failures of others or the misfortunes of others. One
okay.
day of
well, I'm all about that.
Gloating, let's say. The idea that the Nets looked unstoppable after acquiring James Harden for two games, and then when Kyrie was finally ready to play, their first game is against the Cavs, and they lose to the Cavs. Cloud nine, buddy. Because I know they're going to end up just smashing everything in front of them, and it's going to be really annoying down the stretch having to watch Sage burned before the NBA Finals. But the fact that it happened last night against Cleveland is awesome.
Yeah, so I do know that the Cavs aired like a tribute video for Kyrie. Because he certainly was very instrumental in winning that title. They could have won it without him, Blake. But, you know, as far as that title is concerned, he was instrumental. Made some huge, huge shots.
The shot.
But certainly showed his true colors as he ended up forcing his way out of Cleveland.
Well, that would certainly be the last time he forced his way out of anywhere, right?
So... they aired a tribute video for him, and that just got me thinking, boy, he hasn't played for the Cavs in a long time. Why would they air a tribute video now? And then, so has he just been avoiding going back to Cleveland? Because he's played them many times, but I think I've heard he's just, what's the story? You have the inside, you did the research online.
Yeah, I went and looked at the game logs for every year since he's been out of Cleveland. His first game out of Cleveland in a Celtics uniform, first game, was on the road at Cleveland, a game that Cleveland won. His very first game, October of 2017. Since then, teams that he is that he's on, which I guess is pretty much all the Celtics before last night, have been to Cleveland 5 times, and he has missed all of those games. So I suppose they didn't want to run the tribute the very first game a couple months
after he left. As you're booing
him
because he forced his way out.
Right. And then he has ducked, you know, the powerhouse that is the Cavs in Cleveland.
He's just not gone back.
5 more times, right. And did you see his reaction last night to the tribute video?
Didn't he point at his ring finger?
Yeah. Kind of held up his ring finger like, look, I got you one of these.
He waited,
never forget.
Waited till the arena was empty to go back.
Yeah, what, they have 3,000 people there?
Right. Yeah, I mean, look, I don't want to get too excited about watching bad things happen to Kyrie because I'm still very worried that this is all going to end up very annoying.
Yeah, but you know what he'll say? I scored 37.
Yeah, kind of took.
What else could I have done?
28 shots to do it. But
they still lost by 10, right?
Yeah, in double overtime, which is just, you
as
know.
Colin Sexton pretended he was LeBron.
Hey.
And I think scored 20 straight points.
Are your Cavs buddies excited about Colin Sexton?
Oh, yeah.
That's a guy that everybody had given up on pretty much the day he was drafted. And, yeah. Round one, Colin Sexton v. Kyrie Brooklyn.
They get very excited pretty easily right now.
Yeah. They wanted to max out Delly.
But, yeah, this is the kind of game that's their kind of this is their playoffs right now. If you play Kyrie.
Yeah.
And he actually came back and wasn't afraid.
There wasn't, like,
to actually go play.
There wasn't, you know, like, I don't know, maybe he saw the inauguration was happening that day and that invigorated him to finally get back out there. Like, nobody's dog was missing on the news or anything. Like, Any slight bit of bad news that he sees, it's just,
Well, I think it was the Nets were really struggling without him.
Yeah, exactly. They're just putting up 130 a game.
Yeah, that's probably the better way to get him back.
Win
is to see his team doing really well, and then he'll think, wow, am I going to be an afterthought? I better get back to try and prove the fact that I'm actually important to this thing.
Vomit.
They had won 4 straight before his return, and then dropped that.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast, wherever you listen.